Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Soybeans rallied to new contract highs this week in Chicago, but along the way, the volatility kicked and it bucked and it spit and whatever else it could do to keep the week of Constitution on the sidelines. We'll talk with the strong-willed traders today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tom Schuff, an independent trader on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing from Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. What's the possibility the palm oil market has reached a top and the whole house of cards surrounding veggie oils will come tumbling down? Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
My hunch is zero. It's still a very dynamic market, and I think that the veggie oil boom is still much alive and well. The other direct, indirect thing is we got 15 million acres of soybeans that are suffering from dry weather. That's also going to have a little bitty supportive factor into that equation.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
The volatility isn't over, Todd, but we could have seen a top in the palm oil as high as it's went. But the activity, the volatility, and the trading and demand is going to stay strong.
And Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
No, we feel the veggie market is still well alive. We set the precedence of it's becoming energy marker as long as economic growth continues in the Asian sector. We feel we've got a long-term solid base. We're going to have wild corrections in here. It's extremely overbought, and these breaks are healthy to the market.
Taking a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For the soybeans this week, July contract, a high of $8.35¾. They're low at $8.06¾. Remember, we give you the composite trades, so the day trade and the overnight both. The weekly settlement price up 4 cents Friday to Friday at $8.21½ in the July beans. November's at $8.54½. We're up 7¼ from last week. It sure looked like they were going to finish up a lot higher than that on Thursday evening, but they managed to break pretty hard on Friday. Tell me about that break, please.
Well, a couple of things. Overnight, the Malaysian palm oil, they put a tax on the palm oil, and also the European model was kinder, gentler, and the American model early in the morning showed some kinder, gentler forecasts as well. We did see a pretty big rainfall deal coming through Missouri into southern Illinois, and that also caught everybody's attention. What it was is that we needed a little rest. We saw a lot of market gyrations today, and that's how we ended the week.
Is the bean market mostly a spec market at the moment? In terms, I know it's always a spec market. You gave me that look like, Todd, it's the futures. We're always speculating. But is it mostly the speculatives that have been driving this market higher?
It seems that way, especially when you look at the beans, the raw fundamentals, over 600 million bushel carry out an old crop, 300 million bushel, we're going to have a half a crop or carry out this coming crop year. In past history, that would be bearish. But with the promise or foresight of demand down the road and these huge funds coming into the marketplace, I believe so. When you look at the raw fundamentals, it's hard to be too bullish, but the trend's up, the trend's your friend, demand strong. So I think you got to look for more of a speculative side. You got to lean on the technicals to sort of help you enter and exit the marketplace.
Tell me about the cash side of the market just a bit. As you look out over the past week, it seems that when they made the call on the cash side, that the beans came in from either the elevators or maybe potentially from a few producers. But the marketplace continues to be awfully weak in the basis levels. Will it break even further away from the Chicago Board of Trade as we go through the summer months?
Todd, it's going to depend on the movement. We will narrow the basis in when we want something to move. At the higher prices, as Kurt said, we've got tremendous carryout. The stocks are huge in the beans. And when we need beans to move, the basis will narrow in and the elevators will ship them because the elevators are owners of the beans.
Well, I think that's just the point. The stocks in the bean market are really large compared to where we have been in the past. But we've got an outside market, the palm oil, Indonesian and Malaysian, that really has been pushing the price of soybeans, the price of bean oil in particular, higher. How do you reconcile that as we head into the growing season and particularly into the harvest season if we have a normal size crop this year? We'll have more beans in the American heartland than we've had for a very long time.
Well, the dilemma for the producer and the typical listener to our station is, should we sell new crop beans at $9 or sell old crop beans at $8.50, and if you have your own storage, do you carry that commodity yourself? It's strictly about carry and economics to carry that crop to forward marketplace. My general impression is that the farmer is marketing soybeans, and this is one reason why you possibly can see some dips. But at the same time, there has to be a message somewhere that a commercial can't afford to buy wide basis beans and carry them forward, because we do know two things. I think there's a strong feeling that the USDA June plantings report could even show a smaller acreage of soybeans. We are seeing some very dry conditions. So there are fundamental reasons why soybeans could be extremely explosive and a real wonder market in the future.
Kurt, when we talk to you, you often will talk about those who are hedgers and those who are going to day trade or are traders in the marketplace. Talk about those traders' side at the moment. What are you doing with them in the beans?
Well, basically, as you mentioned, you got to keep it separate. You got to think producer or trader is two different entirely things, and we continue to preach that. But from a trader's point of view, not long, get long. That's the bottom line. The trend's higher. The fundamentals are turning bullish in through here. We run into some dry weather in here. We feel that this thing's just explosive, like Paul said. The wheat market's had its run. The corn market's had its run. You talk to investors, they're willing to buy something that's got potential. We feel it's in the bean complex.
Wayne, you agree with that, or is it time for the beans to run?
Well, Todd, the commodity of choice right now is the beans. The Malaysian palm oil has made them that way. The funds have been much heavier participants in the bean market. They've driven it highly. We've seen the beans go up a dollar in the last month. That tells you that's where the funds are.
Taking a look at the corn market now, July futures there, a 390 top for the week, the low at 371 and a quarter, their settlement price down 4 3/4, 382, the settlement on the July. December contract, on the other hand, up 9 1/4 cents at $3.92 and a quarter. Your impression of the corn market this week, as we had some serious gyrations out of the beans, but the corn managed a pretty decent gain.
It really did. And, of course, the futures market basically ignored some of the wetter forecasts, went lower, just hit some very strong support, and I think that support area, the low today was, 285 or 6 area, and it hit there and just basically was granite support. The marketplace is extremely concerned with the crop conditions of about 17 million acres. And it doesn't take much imagination to see that we are growing this dry area east of the Mississippi, and that's the major market concern.
You said 285, but I think you meant
385.
On the top side of that, I want to follow that up. On the top side of that, when we get to the top side, which was, I think, 394 this week for the corn, was that the top in the East corn market? I think that's right.
Overnight trades a little higher, 96.
So how much resistance is that? on the top side. How hard will it be to push through that side of the marketplace?
Well, short-term, psychological-wise, $4 is probably going to cap it in here. I think we saw a little pickup in some sales. But we come in here next week or the week after, and we got a drier forecast. It's literally going to hit the buy stops about $4 and march higher. We broke out of the wedge formation. We had the false break to the downside. We popped up out of there. We've been up here for a week. So we could consolidate here for a while and wait for the next big move.
You know, there's nothing wrong with Kurt's analysis there, except it's going to be fast, and it'll happen. My hunch is that if we don't get a meaningful rain next week, that's going to be one of the key parts of this equation.
You mean it'll be fast as in it'll be sooner rather than later, or fast it'll be a run up and then a drop back quickly? Or both?
I think it'll be bigger trading ranges on the upside of the 394 to 96 level. In other words, I think we'll see a gap higher opening through those levels when and if the market senses drier conditions.
Interesting notes on the markets for corn this week from you. Anything that you saw?
Yeah, the DSO 8, 09, and 2010 all were over $4 this week. We're looking ahead of our future demand and how many acres it's going to take to buy. And we're sitting out here solidly above $4 for the next 3 years out. We are looking at that ethanol production and what it's going to take and trying to buy those acres away from beans. So that's the big thing going on out there.
I think that's, what, only the second time in history, in a move anyway, that December corn has traded above $4? Is that correct? I think that's right.
Could be. And, you know, we look at these deferred contracts. They're up here for a reason. There's good solid demand behind that. Also, too, you go back a week or two, China coming in buying 85 million bushels of beans at these levels. They didn't do it for the fun of it.
Take a look at the wheat market now, July futures. Well, wait a second. Let me back up. So they didn't do it for the fun of it. You think the Chinese have always been good traders. So you're simply thinking the Chinese are saying this thing's going higher.
You bet.
All right. July wheat futures, $5.36, the high, the low at 514.5. Settlement price at 527.5. They were up 6.75 from last week. December wheat futures at 556.5 were up 9.5 cents. July oats at 292 were up 6 cents for the week. You know, Paul, I was in Europe the previous week. Did you know that they produce ethanol, you know, from wheat in Europe?
We've been hoping that would happen for years and years and years, and I'm happy they're joining the ethanol club.
Right. What do we see in the wheat market this week? Anything of great interest that we should talk about?
Well, talking to a lot of these guys, there's some problems out west and still seeing a reduced acreage here in the east and through here. So wheat might just be able to take a dynamic move in its own. Still seeing harvest pressure, we might see some end users come forward to gather some inventory into harvest.
It would be.
Don't forget we have a production report on the 11th there, and you know there's a debate on bigger or smaller, and I think the trade is looking for a larger report, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it's not smaller.
Anything else on the wheat before we take a quick look at the Merc?
Widely varied yield so far coming in out of all the places around, varying anywhere from 3 bushel to 30 bushel to 55 bushel to 70 bushel, Todd. So a lot of variance. That freeze damage did more damage than a lot of people want to admit.
Is that on the soft red or the hard or both?
Both.
Taking a look now from the Mercantile Exchange, June futures in the live cattle pit, 91.47.5 on the high, the low at 89.50, their settlement price at 89.72.5. They were down $1.07.5 from last week. The August feeders at 108.20 were off 3.25. June lean hogs, 74.80 the high, the low at 72.75, their settlement price at 72.87.5, off $2 even. And the June bellies at 95.30 were down $3.40 from last Friday's settlement price. Have those who raise livestock in the states finally decided that they can just simply do it at $3.70, $3.80, $3.50, maybe even $4 corn, and they're just going to raise livestock and not worry about it too much? Is that right?
You know, we sense that they still have a lot of the same advantages that everybody else in the industry. They have futures accounts. They have bin storage. They can pre-buy commodities ahead of time. And, you know, as right now, you know, I think the hog producer is still in black ink.
One other thing, too, is these guys are locked in some long-term contract agreements, so it's going to be awful hard to break those contracts, too.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Tom Schuff, an independent floor trader at the Chicago Board of Trade.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Temperatures were very mild at the beginning of the week, but had warmed up considerably by Thursday with highs in the low 90s, before cooling off slightly into the 80s by the weekend. Statewide temperatures for May were 4.5 degrees above normal, making this the 8th warmest May since records began in 1895. It is fairly dry this week, with an average of only 0.8 inches of rain falling across the state, and much of that fell in the north. For the month of May, statewide precipitation was only 2.62 inches, 1.65 inches below normal. The warm, dry weather means that some areas are starting to feel the effects, especially in east-central and southeastern Illinois. The National Weather Service forecast calls for very little chances of rain over the weekend and into early next week. Lows are expected to be in the mid-50s, and the highs in the upper 70s and low 80s over the weekend, and warming slightly through the week. This pattern of warmer than normal conditions is expected to continue through at least June 21st. The next storm system is expected to move through somewhere around Friday, bringing our next real chance for rain. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL AM 580. Our panelists in studio are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Our guest today is Tom Schuff. He's an independent floor trader at the Chicago Board of Trade. He last joined us as part of a special program we did from Chicago on the 13th of April. It's our pleasure to have Tom join us again today as our guest. Tom, thanks for coming along for the ride.
Good afternoon.
It's been a wild week in Chicago, at least for the soybeans. Can you give us a blow-by-blow of how the bean trade unfolded?
Sure. A couple of comments first. You know, as a speculator or trader, I try to figure out what's driving the markets, okay? And the veg oil has been human consumption. The demand is coming out of China and India. This isn't biodiesel. This is human consumption. So I agree with you. This is here to stay, this oil demand. The bean market, I think what's driving the bean market is we have to keep beans high enough to encourage South America to plant acres next year. They want to go to corn, okay? They want to switch out of soybeans. They want to plant corn because they want to put it in ethanol. Because, you know, they have that vertical integration where they can do it all. So I think the function of the bean market is it has to stay high enough to continue to encourage South American farmers to plant beans. The corn market is all about weather right now, okay? As far as this week, it's weather. The wheat market you discussed, you know, when the weather got hot and dry, that was bearish because it meant we were going to be able to harvest the wheat, okay? The corn market, we've had the forecasts have changed almost as quickly as the prices have changed. I think that what has held the corn market together in the face of, say, a positive or a favorable weather forecast is the fact that we have this low pressure system out over the high pressure, out over the southeast that is starting to hurt the crop in these minor states, the minor states of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. And that's starting to creep into the Ohio Valley, the southern Ohio Valley. We also understand that areas west of the Mississippi, west of Des Moines, have received too much rain. And the crop looks like the crop has gotten off to a ragged start there. So you've got a double-edged sword here. You've got too much in the west, and you've got not enough in the east. And it appears to me that this dryness is starting to spread into the Ohio Valley.
Tom, thanks for being a floor trader and doing a wonderful job of making the marketplace for Central Illinois farmers and speculators. What I wanted to know is how are seats traded? The old days they had a bid board and bid and ask. How does it's done and what's the values and what do you think of that? The marketplace as it's changing.
Okay, seat values. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, seats were trading at about $350,000 to $450,000. It looked like Eurex was going to maybe take our markets away from us. They got very competitive. Since then, we changed our business model. We demutualized. We became a publicly held company. We split the Board of Trade seat into three different parts. We now have the seat becomes an A seat, which is shares of stock. Each seat entitled, each seat was given 27,338 shares of stock. There is a B share, which is the old trading right, which allows me to go down on the floor and trade as a member. And then there's a C share, which is our trading right at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. The total value of the package right now is around $6 million. It's been, yes. And I think that is a reflection of the need for derivative markets. I think the world is beginning to realize that why would you want to trade stocks when you can trade the derivative? Why would you want to trade interest rates when you can trade the derivative? Okay. What we call derivatives today, we used to call futures contracts. I mean, these corn is a derivative of the cash corn that you fellas trade down in central Illinois.
Tom, as we look here, sit back, what's the attitude on the floor towards the corn and the bean prices as where they're going if we would stay with somewhat normal conditions?
Well, that's a big if. I'm a $5 bull in corn. I'm a $10 bull in soybeans, okay? And I think that this is going to be a function of demand and of some supply threats. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, okay? China has destocked. China has spent 10 years destocking. China built stocks from 1950 up until 1990. You know, China had 100% stock-to-use ratio of grains. They're probably less than we are. They're probably 10% right now. We don't know. I mean, they don't know. And China has destocked. So China will be in the world market for good. China bought beans because they need beans, okay? They're consuming at an enormous rate. They have left the farm. The kids have left the farm. Mom and pop are back on the farm. They took the tax off of agriculture in China, so they only grow enough to feed themselves. They don't grow much anymore. Plus, you've got, you know, major dryness in China. South America, we need South America to grow a big bean crop because the demand is unprecedented. I think biodiesel has changed the formula. I think biocorn has changed the formula. We now grow for energy. We don't grow for human consumption. And if you take a look at the cropping acreage in this country, was it 375 million acres, something like that? If you take the CRP out, it's about 330 that we grow. That's like an increase. I mean, you're going to take away from beans and you're going to plant corn or wheat. You're going to take away from wheat or corn, you're going to plant beans. You know, there's nothing. We can't create more land. So I think that prices, I think the new $2 corn is now $3.50. I think the new $6 beans or $5 beans is now $7. So I think the plateaus have changed.
Tom, I think you're a little too conservative on $10. Two quick questions.
I've seen $12 beans before.
Well, I think you guys need to get your old floor trade buttons out that says beans in the teens. I think those are going to be heirlooms on eBay here real quick.
You could be right. I think I could be conservative.
One question is this die in central Illinois mentality. Is it true that floor traders don't know what corn and beans look like?
No, that's not true.
Okay. Secondly here, would you just brief us on the transition from going to the pit to the screen? Maybe give some insight there.
Sure. Part of our demutualization was the fact that we recognized that we had to go electronic. I'm not going to say that open outcry is horse and buggy, but it's close. And most other markets have gone globally, are electronic, and we are probably 75 to 80% in the corn pit right now electronic, 20% open outcry. And that's not going to change. That's going to continue to get more and more electronic. Beans to a lesser extent, wheat to a lesser extent, products to a lesser extent than that. This is the way it's going to be in the future. If you want to see open outcry, you better get up here to Chicago because in a couple of years we won't be here. Okay, that's my opinion. It's cheaper, it's quicker. Now, there's a downside to this, and that's the fact that you don't have liquidity. You know, the old cottage industry of who's doing what, you know, who's buying, who's selling, right? ADM's doing this, Continental's doing that, Dreyfus is doing this, Cargo's doing that, Farmarco's doing this. That's over with. Okay. We don't know that anymore. We can't see who's trading on the screen. So when you take that element out, the big trades go away. So you don't have the kind of liquidity. I mean, corn has a huge notional value, and corn trades like pork bellies used to trade. It's so volatile. I sat down to read F.C. Stone's weather comment this morning. It took me about 18 or 20 seconds, and corn had rallied 6 cents. So the volatility is here to stay. So, and I think electronic trading eventually will take over, and the floors will be a thing of the past.
I want to go back to something you said at the very top of your segment of the program about the Malaysian palm oil or the palm oil, and that, in fact, you believe it's trading as vegetable oil for human consumption.
Correct.
And not as biodiesel.
Correct.
That China is the buyer in that play.
Can you China and India.
Can you give me more information on that?
Well, the demand that we see in palm, the demand that we've seen in Indonesia and Malaysia has been human consumption demand.
Well, I guess the question is really, does this mean something different for the soybean oil market than if it were for biodiesel? I've got a lot of head shaking here, so I'll let them answer.
I think it shows that there's huge human consumption, there's huge human demand, there's huge consumptive demand for soybean oil globally.
And everybody agrees here, so that's the case.
Biodiesel is just going to compete with it. You know, I mean, it's like corn right now. I mean, you've got the ethanol guy has still got good margins, and he can buy corn where maybe the cattle guy can't buy it or the broiler guy can't buy it, right? So it's kind of thrown things out of whack.
Tom, when do you think the market will start paying attention to these weather forecasts? I know you mentioned we're watching it now, but when will it? Would the market go into the next stage?
The corn market in the Southeast needs rain now. I've got contacts that I talk with down in Central Mississippi, and I mean, you know, corn's already rolling down there. They need this system that's going through the mid next week has got to produce some rain down there, or we're going to go ballistic in the corn market. And I mean, we could see $5 quicker than we could see. It will happen. This was the year. Don't forget that we needed perfection. This was the year that we needed that. We could have demand here at 12.6, 12.7, 12.5 to 12.6 to 12.65. Okay, and we need a crop at least that big. And if you start taking national average yield down a bushel or two, it's not going to be hard to get a 12 billion crop. And 12 billion is not going to do it. You start getting 11.7, 11.8 crop, you know, we run out of stocks. And I mean, how many farmers? How many of you fellows would believe that if we did 11.7, 11.8 corn crop, that we would have a problem?
Tom, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
We hope we can call you again.
No problem. Anytime.
Tom Schuff is an independent trader at the Chicago Board of Trade, joining us from Chicago or the Chicago area where he lives and works. A final word from our panelist in the studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
You know, tip of the hat, Sunday night is going to be fun.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I thought I was bullish, then I talked to Tom.
And Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
Yeah, I kind of like Tom.
All right. And that is today's closing, or rather Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.